You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Matt Rothschild here. John and Gordy are off this morning, but they're back this afternoon from 2 to 5 all across the Civic Media Radio Network. So you can catch them then, and they'll be back here in their regular spot tomorrow morning. So if you are missing John and Gordy, you can catch them this afternoon and tomorrow morning. I'm glad you're with me this morning and with us here at WMDX 92.7 FM in Madison. I'm joined by my favorite co-guest host, Angela Lang. Angela Lang is the co-executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. How are you doing this morning, Angela?
I'm good. I saw the lineup for today, and you know, all of our guests are always really great, but I'm super excited for today.
Yeah, our guests include Sam Liebert. It's 6:36. He'll be on. He's the state director of All Voting is Local Wisconsin. He had a recent op-ed in the Journal Sentinel with former Governor Scott McCallum, a Republican, on the need to be able to count ballots on the Monday before Election Day, absentee ballots, that is. He also has been outspoken on this question as to whether Trump can grab every single piece of information about every single little voter in Wisconsin when they want our voter rolls. So we're going to ask him about that. And then we have Lisa Bernard from the Humane Society at 6:50. She's got a couple pets that she wants to have adopted out before Christmas. What could be a better Christmas present than that? Mm-hmm. And then after the 7 o'clock bump, we've got Judge Everett Mitchell. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him. Judge Mitchell is a circuit court county judge here in Madison. He ran for Supreme Court. He also gave one of the best speeches, actually the single best speech at the No Kings rally in Madison in October. And he's got a new initiative that he and Melissa Agard, the Dane County exec, have put together on juvenile justice reform. So a lot to talk about. And so I'm looking forward to the show today. A little weather update. It's mid-30s here in Madison. It's going to clear up and be sunny and about 44 by 3 o'clock this afternoon. But this morning, there still might be a couple slick spots on the sidewalks. If you're walking, if you're driving on the bridges, there still may be a few, or the side roads, a few slick spots. We were warned by the weather folks about that, so you should be careful going out the door. But after an hour or two, it should warm up enough so that those slick spots will go away and should be a decent commute. You know, the weather forecast for Christmas has changed for a while there. They say it was going to be 49 or something crazy. Now it's down to 37. So, but we've got 44 today, 40 tomorrow, 37 on Christmas. So not bad for driving. Not great if you want a huge white, postcard Christmas. But anyway, there's enough white snow out there still. It's kind of going gray, though, now.
I know. I've noticed that it never snows on Christmas. It always snows either a week before or 2 weeks before. It happens every year, it feels like.
Yep.
And I'm just annoyed by it, you know? Yeah. I want to have a nice Christmas, you know? Come on.
I'm waiting for the Lifetime, you know, picturesque. It slowly starts snowing at, like, midnight on Christmas. Yeah. Like, you know, you're that magicalness. I'm waiting for that.
I want to feel like I'm in a Christmas movie, all right? And I haven't felt like I felt that past few years.
It's been many years since we've had that, especially with global warming, with these warm Christmases. And I remember seeing sandhill cranes on a Christmas, which is crazy because they all should have migrated out by then. But I think there's still some around. The geese are still making noise and flying around, but some of them will stay through the winter. Even some robins stay through the winter if they can find an open water source. But we'll have some bird talk, as always, at the end. And, of course, anytime you want to call and talk about birds, we're open to that here. When I'm guest hosting Matt Rothschild, a crazy bird watcher. Of course, that's redundant. The number to call here is 608-879-8255, 608-879-8255. Well, I had to start off, actually, talking about the Epstein files, but I had this incredible story from the Washington Post just this morning. I'm going to just read a couple paragraphs about a new release in the ongoing saga of the Epstein files. Mm-hmm. They include notes from an assistant U.S. attorney in New York about the number of times Trump flew on Epstein's plane, including one flight that included just Trump, Epstein, and a 20-year-old woman, according to the notes. The newly released documents also include several tips that were collected by the FBI about Trump's involvement with Epstein and parties at their properties in the early 2000s. The documents don't show whether any follow-up investigations took place or whether any of the tips were corroborated. Check this out. The documents were available for several hours Monday afternoon and evening on the Justice Department website, but appear to have been taken down around 8 p.m. The Washington Post downloaded the full set of files while they were still up.
Are we surprised? Are we surprised?
It's just such a mockery of fair play and justice. But yeah, nothing surprises us with Trump at this point in this second term. And I think that just should be the, you know, the assumption. Also going on today, he's naming battleships after himself. He's ordering the building of new battleships, which, you know, he's helping to design, I guess. He's naming everything he can put his name on in Washington and at the Pentagon. Right. He told Jesse Waters over at Fox he needs to do this because he needs to build monuments to himself because no one else will do that. I mean, his whole life is about building monuments to himself.
Yeah, because no one else will do it. Like, that's the you said it. There's a reason no one is doing it. Also, it's very absurd. And I was, you know, watching the news because I, you know, I saw the Kennedy Naming Center and the outrage around adding Trump's name to the Kennedy Center right before. But like, it's kind of unprecedented and unheard of. You know, people name things after folks, usually after they pass away or after they leave office. And this is some of the most narcissistic things that I've ever seen. And people are like, yeah, that's just normal. And I'm like, we shouldn't get used to this level of narcissism, whether it's in our personal dating lives or the president of the United States. It is not okay.
I mean,
and
it is,
it
just
shouldn't be normalized.
It sure shouldn't, Angela. It is. It's just clinical pathological narcissism. If you want to look
Absolutely.
It up in the DSM, the Diagnostic Manual on Psychological Disorders, you can see what the criteria are for pathological narcissism, and he checks every box, man. His picture is going to be in the next edition under pathological narcissism. It's unbelievable. Bernie Sanders yesterday wants to introduce a piece of legislation that no president can name something until that person has died. You can't name a building after someone who's still alive, especially naming it after yourself. But that's where Trump is. You know who I really feel bad about, though, is Carolyn Kennedy. I mean, this is the John F. Kennedy Center, her dad. And now she sees Trump taking it over, putting his name in front. And also she has a daughter now who's dying of cancer, who wrote about that publicly. What a tragedy. You know, that family has just been under a cloud for 70 years.
They call it the Kennedy curse.
It is just so true, too. And I just feel so bad for that woman right now. And she has that crazy cousin of hers, RFK Jr. So, I mean, and she came out publicly against him when he was in the running for presidency and after he endorsed Trump. And now all the havoc he's wreaking on our public health system. But at a personal level for Caroline Kennedy and for the other sane Kennedys out there, the renaming of the Kennedy Center has got to really stick in their throat. If you want to join the conversation here, 608-879-8255. I'm Matt Rothschild, subbing in here for John and Gordy with Angela Lang of Block. We'd love to have your conversation, too. We've got a very good show coming up, so please help us out if you can. There's interesting things in this day in history, too, I wanted to get to, Angela. One is that on this day in history, George Washington resigned his commission as commander-in-chief in 1783. This was after winning the Revolutionary War. And by resigning his charge as commander-in-chief, his title and his position, this was a preview of his farewell address where he announced he wouldn't run for a third term, which something Trump might want to read up on, because he just yesterday or the day before was talking with Alan Dershowitz, I guess, about how he could possibly serve another term. Well, we've got Matt from Middleton on the line. So Matt, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for hosting. I just wanted to comment about the level of grift and theft from the American taxpayer that's going on in our government right now under these fascists. And Elon Musk, this grifter going around the world promising hundreds of trillions of dollars of valuation to his companies that continue to fail. They continue to endanger the public. These cyber trucks are death traps, apparently. And California, I guess, is threatening to not sell Teslas at all because of all the lies about its autopilot. Mm. And I just wonder, when are the American people going to rise up and reject this grifting behavior and nonsense and the theft of our dollars?
Good
both
point,
sides
Matt.
Of the political spectrum should be really angry about this. Your thoughts. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Matt from Middleton. I'm angry about it. I know people who are paying attention are angry about it. I mean, not just Elon Musk, but the Trump family themselves. I mean, I heard that Barron Trump is now worth $150 million. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of money the Trump family, Trump himself, Melania, have amassed over the last 10 months since they came back to office. I think the grift, the corruption, the incompetence, the craziness from Trump is finally going to catch up to him. And the resistance from below has been so great. And I think unexpected by the Trump people, just the courageousness of the people who are opposing ICE, like in Chicago with their, you know, blowing the whistle whenever ICE comes around. And all over the country, people are resisting ICE nonviolently and creatively. And that's what we need. But I think that's going to be their undoing. You know, they think they're all powerful. No one's all powerful. That's the lesson of history. Nobody's all powerful. And I think that is going to come crashing down upon them pretty soon. And that may be why, you know, the grifters are desperate to grab every single thing they possibly can grab until, you know, the lights go out on them. And the lights are going to go out at some point. That's the hopeful thing right now.
No, I think the word grift, I think, was a key word there, right? Because it implies it's a scam. You're just trying to get some money. And I would also be remiss if I didn't mention rapper Nicki Minaj, right? She made some headlines joining Erica Kirk, and you know, it's just kind of like people do this grift when they need relevance, and I think we see that in the Trump administration as well as all of their kind of like validators and even like celebrities. And it's a shame for Nicki Minaj too.
Yeah, that's a scandal in and of itself. The voice you were hearing is Angela Lang. She's my co-host. She's with Block. I'm Matt Rothschild. I was supposed to be retired, but I'm back behind the mic enjoying that. You can join the conversation 608-879-8255. WMDX 92.7. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, good morning. Matt Rothschild here, subbing in for John and Gordy, along with Angela Lang. We welcome your calls at 608-879-8255. John and Gordy will be on from 2 to 5 this afternoon all across the Civic Media Radio Network, and they'll be back tomorrow morning at their regular spot. Right now, it's in the mid-30s. It was kind of clear when I was driving in. It's supposed to get partly cloudy this morning, then sunny and 44 by 3 o'clock this afternoon. Tomorrow, 40, Christmas, 37. No serious precipitation that I could detect, but I'm not a meteorologist. Anyway, I don't even pretend to be one. We've got a call from Mark from Prairie du Sac. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I saw, you know, the new Trump class, you know, battleship that, you know, in a day when they're talking about sensible people talking about we're not going to be needing these naval vets, we're not going to. Those battleships have kind of become outdated because they're so vulnerable to, you know, that drone attack or, you know, that. But, you know, Trump is, once again, not to be boring, but, you know, that Trump, once again, is everything the anti-federal is worried about. I mean, he's, you know, greeting, you know, his you know, foreign potentates, you know, and splendor. And I'm just surprised Trump isn't wearing purple now, you know, that you know, like the emperors of Rome. I mean, because he has just surrounded himself with minions and mistresses, and his you know, and as I've not to be boring, but in Federalist 67, he says, you know, surrounded by, you know, the anti-federalists were worried about somebody like this. I mean, that And Trump now has his army of murderous Janissaries, which is ICE. I mean, because they're actually killing people. I mean,
right.
That it is just beyond the point that, you know, that if I run into an ICE agent, I'm just going to bite my tongue because I might, you know, say something that, you know, get me thumped on. That it is just deeply disturbing that and you see Pete Hegseth. All these people are just angry about everything, and they're all unqualified. I mean, I can't think of anybody who is in his cabinet, aside from Marco Rubio, who has actually, you know, given up any kind of qualifications he has in service to Donald Trump. They're all terrified of the man, and they really shouldn't need to be. I mean, that if people are making threats to them, if they're opposing him, then the people that are making those threats need to be arrested. I mean, that is just, it's beyond the pale that, you know, George Washington refused the crown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was offered the crown from what I've read in history, and he refused the crown. He says, there's supposed to be an aversion to monarchs in this country, and there certainly is not with Donald Trump, because he feeds on, he's surrounded with narcissists, and I think he appeals to the narcissism that may exist in all of us. That
well, yeah, I think he does that. I mean, his appeal is weird, Mark, but he certainly wants to be an emperor. You mentioned George Washington. I had mentioned him a second ago. Here in his farewell address, George Washington prayed that the free Constitution, which is the work of your hands, may be sacredly maintained, that its administration and every department may be stamped with wisdom and virtue. Wow, we're sure lacking in wisdom and virtue right now. We've got Joe on the line, so let's see what Joe, who always has great comments and questions, has to offer us this morning. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Well, I'd just like to play off of what Mark has said, where we didn't want to have a king. And you had mentioned this naming of the Kennedy Center, adding his name before the Kennedys so he can take glory for that. It just don't quit. I mean, he started with this deal of, as the headline in NBC News says, Trump announces a new class of battleships named after himself. They're going to be called the Trump battleship class.
Of course.
And, you know, these big, 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 big armed with nukes. Going to be the best thing ever, a goal of having 20 to 25 battleships. And these are going to be running at about, you know, billions for each one of these ships. And as he said, we haven't had battleships in use since 1991. That's the last time we had battleships in combat in 1991. So his thoughts are, why aren't we doing battleships like we used to? Well, there's all sorts of reasons we aren't doing battleships like we used to. And I would look to the drone war in Ukraine as a real example of people using their innovation rather than these big honking ships. But it's all about him. He says about these ships, I am going to be involved in the design of them. He wants them to be beautiful to look at because, quote, I am an aesthetic person. Since when is beauty something you care about? If you're going to build a battleship, you want something that's effective. It doesn't matter what it looks like. So, what Mark had said is absolutely true. He wants the trappings, and he doesn't want to do the work, and he doesn't care about the people who are in this country. Do we need these battleships? Wouldn't that be a question for Congress to consider rather than the president? Yeah. See, thanks, you guys.
Well, thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
From Madison. Another great comment. You know, the thing is, he's not content to be commander-in-chief. He wants to be architect-in-chief. He wants to be, you know, cultural commissioner-in-chief over at the Kennedy Center. I mean, there's nothing that he sees that he can't say, I want to be the person with the name on top of this thing and that thing and the other thing. It's just his greed. It's not just greed for money, but greed for people to, you know, bow down to him is insatiable.
This is a man who has daddy and probably mommy issues and has never been hugged enough as a child. And talking about how he likes aesthetics. I find it interesting that this is an aesthetic guy with that terrible, awful spray tan.
And look at the ugly aesthetics in the White House, too. This is
it's tacky.
The aesthetics of the nouveau riche. We're going to be back with Sam Liebert from All Voting is Local right after this short break. So please hang on for that and join our conversation anytime at 608-879-8255. I'm Matt Rothschild. She's Angela Lang. and we welcome your calls and the conversation with you. So where the action is right here, I'm Matt Rothschild. Welcome back to John and Gordy in the Morning. The guys are off this morning. They're back in the afternoon from 2 to 5 all across the Civic Media Radio Network, and they'll be back behind this microphone tomorrow morning. For now, you got me and Angela Lang, the co-executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, and you can join the conversation anytime you'd like, 608-879-8255. That's 879-8255. It's partly cloudy now, mid-30s, but it's going to get to 44 and sunny by 3 o'clock this afternoon. That's kind of sweet. Tomorrow, around 40. Christmas, 37. Not the 49 that has been predicted. That's the most recent forecast, bringing the temperature down, but not below freezing on Christmas, so a lot of the snow will be gone on maybe not such a white Christmas. Hey, I'm happy to introduce our first guest this morning, Sam Liebert. He is the state director of All Voting is Local in Wisconsin, someone that both I and Angela Lang have worked with in the past, and she's still working with him in the present, I bet. Sam, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
Hey, Matt, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, one reason I wanted to have you on is you were here almost a year ago, a little more than a year ago, on one of the best shows that I participated on Civic Media Radio Network. It was the Thursday after Trump got reelected. And it was such a shocking fact that we had to somehow synthesize and incorporate. And we had a great conversation, you, me, and Angela. But it was pretty painful. And it was very emotional. And I wanted to know how the year has been since then for you and how you're wrapping yourself around the second Donald Trump term.
Wow. Yeah, I had sort of blocked that memory, and you sort of brought it back up. You know, it's obviously for the country, I think it's been mostly pretty rough. You know, my personal life, obviously my wife and my kids ground me, and I try to, you know, keep me from floating away. But you know, we've seen the damage that this administration has done specifically. I mean, obviously, I'm here to talk about today voting rights and elections. But, you know, it's, you know, we're on the path of an authoritarian government if we're not already there. You know, they always talk about, you know, Rome wasn't built in a night. Well, 365 days might be a bit more of a better explainer in that way. So, you know, it's been a lot, and every day, you know, we just have to take in step, you know, new executive actions or other bizarre things that are coming out of DC these days. But, obviously I'm very focused on Wisconsin. You know, that's my lane. And I feel like, you know, Wisconsin overall, I think we're doing better than the nation as a whole.
Well, sticking with Wisconsin then, you know, Donald Trump and his Justice Department have wanted to grab every single bit of voter information from every single voter in Wisconsin, including the last few digits of our Social Security numbers, including our driver's licenses, all sorts of stuff. The Wisconsin Elections Commission said, no, you can't do that. Wisconsin law is real clear. We can't give you all that personal identification information. And so what did the Trump Justice Department do? They're suing the state of Wisconsin. And you had a statement last week, Sam, about how alarming that is. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, so this has been sort of happening across the country, where the Trump administration has been under the guise of election integrity and trying to I think we're seeing now in some states where there's some states actually signing into memorandums of understanding that if the Trump administration comes back to them after their review of their voter rolls, that they would purge voters from those rolls based on the administration's findings. And so just this past week, Wisconsin, Georgia, and I believe the District of Columbia were all sued. I know here in Wisconsin, it is literally against state law for the Elections Commission to give out personable identification information. So like you said, things like driver's licenses, social security numbers, or partial social security numbers. This is just information that, you know, people should be outraged. You know, I think if people were suing healthcare, if the Trump administration were suing healthcare providers and trying to get your medical information, I would hope people would be equally as upset, because that's what we're dealing with right here. And so, you know, the Trump administration has been relentless in these attacks. And in the long term, you know, we should be holding the line against this type of infringement into our state voter rolls. You know, look, the DOJ can go to the Elections Commission and buy the regular voter list like anyone else. They cost $12,500. And they can go do that, but it doesn't come along with that personal that PPI that we're so worried about, and we don't want that to fall into the wrong hands.
Sam Liebert is with All Voting is Local Wisconsin. Angela?
Yeah, I was going to say, so we all know that, like, Wisconsin cannot, right? Like, there's an actual statute, like, or law in place that says we cannot do this. And this has been a question that's been, like, plaguing me this whole second administration. It's like, there are incompetent people in the administration, and then there's, like, also some people that are, like, smart, but, like, still incompetent. What do you think the end goal is, right? Knowing that we're not going to give up this data, like, what do you think is the bigger picture of what they're trying to do? Because they're not doing this everywhere. Why Wisconsin and why now, do you think?
Sure. I mean, some states are just doing it voluntarily, sure. As well. Man, what is the, I mean, I
not
think
to
the,
make
the
you go too deep in the Trump head.
Yeah, but I don't know if we have enough time to go down that rabbit hole this morning. But I think the best indicator of future actions are past actions. Mm. You know, I think, and again, I don't want to be that person, but, you know, just looking back to 2020, you know, we sort of had our first real attempt by a candidate for the office of president to just openly try to overturn the results of an election. And so I think it could just be part of a broader strategy going forward to help either this president or his allies, or to sow distrust in the process as we're, you know, counting ballots next November in our midterm elections across the state and across the country. You know, we don't have as many competitive congressional maps in Wisconsin. I mean, I think most people maybe agree that the third congressional is maybe the most competitive here in Wisconsin, up there in Northwest Wisconsin. But, you know, I think this is just part of a broader legal strategy, a tactic. You know, it's just another thing to have in their back pocket so that they can maybe try to throw votes out or challenge votes. And so, yeah, it's just another piece of the puzzle. I would agree that, you know, there probably are some incompetent folks, but there are, I think, also some pretty pretty strategically intelligent folks behind some of this, and
sinister ones too, I might add.
Yeah,
but it's good to pay attention to it, right? Because I think some folks might be like, all right, well, they're not going to get the data, like, why should I in Wisconsin care that this is even an attempt, you know?
Right. And but it's happening across the country. Right. So maybe if they don't get our data here in Wisconsin, you know, if they get it in Virginia or Georgia, the probably the most competitive U.S. Senate race in November is going to be in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And that's a state where, you know, I think Joe Biden won by 10,000 votes in 2020. I think the last time Ossoff ran, you know, it was a similar margin. So, you know, we're talking about the margins. We're talking, and Wisconsin's one of those states. We are a swing state, and many of our statewide elections come within one percentage point. And so if you can somehow trim off 1% of the electorate to not vote or not be able to vote, you know, that could be a win for one side or the other.
Yeah, that may very well be what's behind this whole thing. I'm Matt Rothschild with Angela Lang. Our guest this morning on the John and Gordy Show is Sam Liebert. He is the state director of All Voting is Local Wisconsin. You just had an op-ed in the Journal Sentinel, Sam, with an old basketball friend of mine, former Governor Scott McCallum, who co-wrote this op-ed with you on counting ballots. You mentioned counting ballots, and you're a former clerk, and the proposal is that you and Scott McCallum put forward, not the first people to do it, count absentee ballots on the Monday before the election day so that things don't get gummed up. Tell us about why you think that's important. And I thought there was, I thought this was going to happen. I thought there was bipartisan support for this thing.
this work is really interesting. I love it because it's truly bipartisan. And so being able to team up with former Republican Wisconsin Governor Scott McCallum was really a great opportunity. I've actually gotten to know, I'll call him Scott because I feel like I'm on a first name basis with him. I've gotten to know him very well over the past several years. He was with the Carter Center during the presidential cycle. And he was working in a bipartisan fashion to make sure that, you know, the temperature was calm and that cooler heads prevailed. And I think he did an excellent job over there. But to your point, the op-ed talks about passing a bill called Monday Processing, which simply allows our municipal clerks to begin verifying and preparing absentee ballots the Monday before Election Day. So I try not to use the word count. It's process. It's really an administrative function where clerks and the election workers are opening ballots, the absentee certificates, taking the ballots, and then putting them into tabulators to be processed. They're not counted. The actual process of counting doesn't happen until the polls close the next day on Election Day after 8 p.m., once all absentee and in-person ballots have been put through the tabulators, and then they're counted, and then we know the results. So no one's going to know the results ahead of time. But a big part of, you know, having the Monday processing bill has really come out of a lot of the mis and disinformation, again, going back to 2020, also going back to 2024, when Hovde was on the ticket for U.S. Senate against Tammy Baldwin. We keep having these folks rehashing misinformation, disinformation, let's just call them lies, that somehow Milwaukee is really, you know, somehow doing these late night dumps and all this. And it's like, no, what happens is you go to bed at 10, 11 o'clock midnight, and maybe one candidate is ahead, yes, but we still have hundreds of poll workers that are at Milwaukee Central Count, under the leadership of a great executive director there, Paulina Gutierrez, who's now the Milwaukee Elections Commission's director. And they're working their butts off to make sure all those ballots are counted and processed. I think in this past November, into 2024, I think they had 106,000 absentee ballots to process. And so what this bill would do is essentially allow cities like Milwaukee or any others that wanted to opt into this option, it's not mandatory, would be, hey, the day before, let's allow Milwaukee to start processing those ballots, opening them up, running them through the machines. And so by the time we get to Tuesday, we're maybe finishing up the work from Monday. And then really the election folks can work on the day of votes that are coming in. We can address things like long lines and everything else that happened with a regular election day, but not having to put all these resources and time. And then maybe by midnight on election night, we can have our final results and we can all go to bed knowing who won, instead of allowing this misinformation, disinformation, these just blatant lies that somehow Milwaukee or other cities are somehow unduly influencing the election, which they're clearly not.
Right. Sam Liebert, All Voting is Local Wisconsin. Thanks so much for being our guest on the John Gordy Show this morning. And good luck with your important work. And we'll be right back with the Humane Society of Dane County.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning, Matt Rothschild. Welcome back to the John and Gordy Show. The guys are off this morning. They're back this afternoon, and they will be back here behind the mic tomorrow morning. Meanwhile, you have me, Matt Rothschild, along with Angela Lang, co-hosting with you. We appreciate your calls and texts at 608-879-8255. Join the conversation anytime you like. Right now, we're joined by Lisa Bernard from the Humane Society of Dane County. She's their development and communications supervisor. Lisa, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Well, it's been a year, you told me before we got on the air, that you've been coming on the John and Gordy Show. Congratulations on the anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We really enjoy our partnership with you guys.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure and a very productive one. This cooperation between our two organizations, since you are able to adopt out some of your pets every week or two that you come on. Tell us which pets you have that you want to have adopted out right now, and what they look like and what their personalities are like?
Well, let's start with my friend Willie. He is a 10-year-old dog, believed to be a Lhasa Lhasa miniature schnauzer mix, about 23 pounds, done growing. He's mostly black with some white on his chest. He was transferred to us last week from an overcrowded shelter in Texas, and he is just the sweetest boy. He loves to go for walks. He walks so nicely on leash. He takes treats very gently, and he just wants to hang out with you. He may be older, but he still has some spunk and gets a little playful and will romp around a bit at times. So
he's got that cute white in the breast, too. That's very cute in the chest.
It is cute. If you see him in person, he's just a doll. He's looking for a quieter home without children because he wants to enjoy his upcoming retirement. So looking for a family who's just going to spoil him with all the love, all the treats, and just companionship. He's a sweet boy.
And you have a couple others?
Yes, I have Hekka. She is a black cat, an adult, about 10 pounds. She came to us in earlier in December. She's an independent cat who loves to receive pets and attention on her terms. She'll even curl up on your lap. She'll lay by and want your attention. She's a bit wobbly, though, and has a head tilt, but it's all a part of her charm. Her head tilt and her wobbliness, they think, is part of her chronic ear infections. She's currently being treated by for her ear infections by DCHS. She loves to play with a variety of toys, including stringy ones. She's coexisted well with other cats and dogs, just as long as they're respectful of her space. She's looking for a patient family who's going to give her time to adjust, and then she's going to want to just get spoiled.
A patient family that's not superstitious about black cats, too.
Yes. I think they're lucky I have two of them.
Oh, there you go.
I hear they're good luck, yeah.
And they're so sweet.
Lisa, you have one more pet you'd like to adopt out before the end of the year?
I have a little more exotic friend. He is actually my office mate. His name is Chimichanga. He's an 8-year-old chinchilla. He's dark gray on his face and back, and then lighter gray on his front and his stomach. He was surrendered to us in late November and because he was very stressed in his home, his family had moved into a smaller space, and he had to share space then with a cat, which he wasn't fond of. So they surrendered him. He was very nervous when he arrived, so they moved him into my office. And he was a little scared at first. He was hiding. But he's come out, and he'll take treats from me. And whenever I approach his cage, he, like, comes up, and he puts his paws up, and he's like, hello. And I'm like, hi, friend. And he recently started having zoomies, too, which I find very exciting because that just shows his comfort level, too. So he's really coming out of his shell, showing what a big personality he has for such a little guy, because he's less than a pound. And he's into his thing because, you know, he's an older guy, so he knows what he likes. But it was so cute to watch him just hop around and have the zoomies and just follow me from one end of his cage to the other. He's like, hello, hello. So very cute Marvel. Boy. He's looking for a safe space without any animals.
Okay. Lisa, if any listener wants to adopt Chimichanga or a Hekka or Willie, what should they do?
They should come visit Dane County Humane Society. We are open today from 2 to 7. We are closed December 24th and 25th, but we'll be open again on the 26th.
So if you need a surprise Christmas present, a pet, go to Dane County Humane Society. Lisa Bernard, thanks so much for being our guest on the John and Gordy Show.
Thank you for having us.
I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm co-hosting with Angela Lang. Right after the break, we have a tremendous guest coming on, Judge Everett Mitchell, who has a new initiative along with Dane County Executive Melissa Sargent about Agard, about juvenile justice reform. You're going to want to stay put for that. And also, we have a clip from his great speech at the No Kings rally. If you missed that in October, you get to hear it in just a couple minutes. Listening on WMDX 92.7, 608-879-8255. We'll be right back.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.